Good morning, friends. If you were tuning in to Flashback Twin Cities this morning expecting to hear the sweet, sultry voice of Tommy O, Tommy Osmond, he is what we call on assignment. I am Jack Stallman filling in, the Don't Flinch guy. I'm a corporate speaker locally here, as well as I serve on the board of Tom's site, tcmedianow.com, and I am just thrilled to be here alongside the guy who makes this happen, James. Merry morning to you, James.
Merry morning to you too.
Yeah, it's good to be here, frazzled and all, on my on my way out here. I hope this doesn't brand me in a certain way,
but yeah, I'll get over it.
I live in a large large city just west of here.
Which one would that be?
Minneapolis.
Minneapolis.
And I'm driving here, and I was already a little late. But and you hate to complain about the sun shining on a beautiful Saturday morning, because Lord knows we just haven't had a lot of that this spring. But I'm heading due east. The sun is at no level in which the dashboard can even stop it from penetrating my eyes.
Oh, I completely understand. Almost every time I was leaving here last month, at 5 o'clock or so, the sun just right in my eyes, blinding.
So you come from the same direction then?
Yep.
Yeah, so thank goodness we're out of here this morning at an okay time where the sun will still be behind us. But then to complicate matters a little bit more, there was, of course, this fresh dusting of wet snow. I don't even know if you can call that a dusting at that point.
I don't know what that was.
Yeah, but it's just enough to where the cars in front of me are kicking up water. So I'm doing the windshield wiper thing, squinting my eyes in between where you need sunglasses and don't, depending on what the tree line is. I'm happy to be here now, safely here.
It took me 10 minutes to get the ice off my windshield this morning.
Oh, it's St. Patrick's Day, for goodness sake. And, you know, last year we were so spoiled. And Belinda Jensen has to go on the news and tell us how things were last year. And last year, this week, we had four record high temperatures in a week.
Really?
Last year, this week. Because it was that, remember St. Patrick's Day was 80 degrees, and it was just, downtown St. Paul was bananas.
Well, all of last winter was just springtime.
That's true.
Spring, early summer.
That's true. We had a great one, and so it's easy to remember after we've had this great spring last year. It's easy to forget that we really do complain about this annually, typically, and so we searched through the archives and found this newscast from KSTP on March 18th, 1982. So pretty much 21 years ago. Right now, people complaining.
Do you remember what 75 or 80 degrees feels like? Seems like kind of a dream, doesn't it? You don't need any meteorological statistics to tell you that this has been one tough winter. Our Libby Znaimer found a lot of people who don't know what they'll do if spring doesn't come soon.
This is our pre-spring weather, gray and foreboding. The streets are filthy. It's impossible to avoid the puddles. All pedestrians can do is try to avoid being splashed.
Disgusting. It's the pits. The absolute pits.
It was worse earlier this week. On Tuesday, we awoke to find a fresh coat of heavy, wet snow that soon turned into slush and muck. The fact that today was better only confused people. They didn't know whether to dress for winter or spring or a little bit of both.
It teases you. It was nice for those few days, and now you come back, and it hurts.
Between finals and this weather, I'd like to jump off the Washington Avenue Bridge.
And the worst isn't over yet.
But then a winter storm watch covers all of southern Minnesota, including the Twin Cities area, as well as almost all of South Dakota. That's for the anticipation of that storm for tomorrow, with the possibility of some heavy snow here in the Twin Cities. But I'm going to take a look at this equinoctial storm just a couple of minutes, and it looks like a strong one.
Have you ever wondered how meteorologists can smile when they deliver news like that? Dave Dahl was still smiling when he told me that tomorrow's storm would be one of the worst this winter. He thinks smiling makes people feel better when they hear bad news about the weather, but the weather doesn't bother him.
I grew up in this weather. It's great. I've lived in the Twin Cities area, and I think most Minnesotans can live with this kind of weather. That's why I smile.
It makes me really mad, yeah. What can I say? I wish it would get warm.
What can we do about it? I mean, what can we do? We can't stop the snow.
We may not be able to stop the snow, but we don't have to stick around for it. I found many people with just one thing on their mind.
Florida, Florida, when you need it back.
Where are you going?
Florida. I think I'll go down to the airport and buy a ticket to Florida. We'll go with these guys.
Why don't you go for spring break down to Florida?
Not a bad idea if you can swing it, but not all of us can.
It's driving me crazy. I just got a new bike on Monday and I can't ride it. I'm going to go crazy with this weather any minute now.
To be fair, not everyone feels this way. Some people can go on loving a Minnesota winter for as long as it hangs on.
Yeah, the only problem around here, people complain about winter too much. Why should they? They should enjoy it.
I can't believe it.
Sounds like donuts in that one.
You better go back where he came from.
What the heck? You got to take it. It's coming as it goes.
Sure. Okay. This is Minnesota. What else you expect? Minnesota, what else you expect? Minnesota, what else you expect?
Right. The bottom line is...
So there you have it. I mean, that is a news story that makes you wonder why... They should just play that news story every year.
I just want to hear the guy say, it's coming as it goes, it's over coming. And over. It's coming as it goes.
So anywho, yeah, we found that. And, of course, you are tuned into KLBB. This is Flashback Twin Cities, in which we take a retrospective look at local media here, and I'm guest hosting. My name is Jack Stallman, and I'm taking this show slightly off the rails. We're staying within the framework of Flashback Twin Cities.
You're just making it your own.
Making it my own, because I have a few twists. As a matter of fact, I got onto the Facebook the other day. I'm at Don't Flinch Guy on Facebook, and I did a poll.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, which stories would you like me to chat about?
Sure.
Yeah. And it was surprising which ones sort of the cream sort of rose to the top. I have a couple of I lived this former life as a what's lower than C-level actor in Hollywood, like a F-level actor. That'd be good.
No,
kind of a fail.
Not F. That's a fail.
A D.
Let's go with D.
Okay, D. So I have some stories to banty about today from those days, but also I just recently guest hosted Twin Cities Live,
really?
here locally, which was a lot of fun. So we'll have some. I'll share some of my experiences about that a little bit later in the show, and we'll take a look at an old clip from the old Twin Cities Live, which. To be fair to the argument, was a completely different format. It was much more of a Phil Donahue type of a show. And Twin Cities Live today is a lot more Good Company.
All right.
Which actually is a great segue into what I want to talk about next. I was at a fundraiser the other day for Junior League, which is a young women's kind of philanthropy association where they give back their time and some money.
Sure, sure.
And it was in St. Paul, and all of a sudden, I see a guy that I knew very, very well. I mean, I grew up with this guy. It was Gary Lumpkin. Do you remember Gary Lumpkin from Good Company out there, Radio World? He was their stunt guy. They'd kind of send him out and just, you know, Gary will try it. You know, he would do things like go to a skate park and try to go down one of these big ramps. And he'd do all
without
this
any
stuff.
Kind of skate experience, of course.
Without any, yes, yes. So oh. and barely the right headgear on. You know, so I see him and I'm like, I know who you are. And of course, everybody there, this is a young women's association, so a lot of them don't know Good Company. And I'm 32 years old, so I was really in that wheelhouse of Good Company. Was what I had on after school.
Right.
You know, my mom watched Good Company or whatnot. So I see him and I'm like, I know who you are. You're Gary Lumpkin. And he just kind of lit up, you know, that he's now been off the air for a while. So he was there as the sort of celebrity auctioneer. And I thought, well, this is cool. But I think it was lost on the crowd because they didn't know, you know, who Gary Lumpkin was. But we found in the archives where Gary Lumpkin learned the tricks of the trade. This is a 1982, I guess this is the year of 1982 here, and this is Good Company, Gary Lumpkin learning how to be an auctioneer.
You have to call the action as you see it, a lot of ad-libbing, which is a definite skill, but the speed in which you talk, do you catch yourself sometimes talking too fast or not fast enough?
Sometimes you start talking so fast, sometimes your mind will race ahead and you start making mistakes because you can't get both of them in sync, believe it or not. But I think in sportscasting, the fastest talker is probably a person who calls a horse race. But it's nothing compared to the guys that do what we're going to talk about now.
That's right.
And they really have a pattern to it, how they do it. And I don't know how they do it, but I love to go to an auction because it's amazing.
I thought I was a pretty fast talker, too, and I know that's why.
I could never do what they do.
But let me show you what happened when I took an auctioneering lesson. That's right. I tried to learn from an expert how to be an auctioneer.
Right along with hot dogs, square dancing, and Dixieland music, auctions are a real American institution. Well, right now, I'm at the Quickie Auction House in Osseo, and the auctioneer is just going strong. In fact, in a few minutes, I'm going to try my hand at being an auctioneer. Before I do that, though, I think I better pick up a few pointers.
This is Gail Lessard, one of the few women in the country who is a certified auctioneer. And she's volunteered to give me a few pointers.
Okay, Gail, you're going to make me an auctioneer. What's first?
I'm going to try and teach you how to count.
Well, I can do that, I think.
Okay, let's stand up and get to it.
Okay, what's...
Okay, I'm going to teach you your numbers by fives, first of all. Starting at five and counting up to 100.
I can do that easy. 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, 55. I mean, it's easy.
Okay, good. Try 2.5. 2.5, 5, 7.5, 10, 12.5, 15, 7.5, and now 20.
2.5, 5, 7.5, 10, 12.5, 15, 17.5, 20, 22.5, 25, 27.5, 30, 32.5, 35, 37.5, 40, 42.5.
Okay, try slowing down a little bit to learn these numbers. Why don't we run our $5, since you're more comfortable with that, and try and put some words in between there. Okay, let's go five and now $10. Five and now $10. Can you say that?
Yeah, five and now $10.
Where do you go to 15?
Where do you go to 15?
15, anybody put them at a 15?
15, anybody put them at a 15?
$10 bid and now 15.
$15 bid and now 20.
Good. Okay, anything like that, just to keep rolling along. Okay, now let's work a chant out for you.
Okay.
Okay, we're going to sell, let's say we're selling an item that's worth about $25. Okay, and start them off at about $5.
I'm bid 5, 5, and a 10, and a 10. Who'll bid 10?
Yes!
Bid 10? Got 10. Got, I got bid 10. I'm bid 10. I'm bid 10. Who'll give me 15? 15 and a 15.
Yes.
Dollar 15. Bring you. Who'll bid 20? 20 and a 20 and a 20. Who'll bid? Got 15. Who'll bid 20? 20 and 30. Sold for 15.
No, you have to work as long as you can at it. Don't sell it early.
Oh, that was too easy. I thought I could count by fives, and I can't even count by fives.
Okay, I'm bid 20 now, 25.
Okay, I'm bid 20 now, 25, I'm bid 20, I got a 20, who'll give me 25, 25, $25 bid, $25 bid, $25 bid, no bid, no, sold $20.
Good.
That's a lot to remember. If I'm going to sell something as an auctioneer, I need to watch just a little bit and see how it all fits together.
That was a weather warning coming in there, but it's, there he is, Gary Lumpkin, just saw him the other day at an auction, still using those skills 21 years later, and a heck of a nice guy. It was really kind of cool to... I find that always fascinating. I know Stan Turner is hosts a show here at this radio station, and it's always just neat to talk to the guys, even if it was just the 80s, which isn't that long ago. But it's just, you know, you get a really glimpse of the history of the state, you know, and kind of what the issues were, and it's just neat to talk to those guys.
Well, it just seems like you might expect them to be something they're completely not. And when you do find them and you see that they are actual people who are nice and
right,
generous.
Absolutely.
I don't know, it kind of validates your enjoyment of them.
Absolutely. I really enjoyed talking to him. You are listening to KLBB. This is Flashback Twin Cities. I am guest hosting for Tommy O. Tom Osmond is what we're calling, quote, on assignment. We'll talk about that a little bit later. And I'm thrilled to be here. We're going to take a short break, but stick around because we have plenty to discuss. are back. Flashback Twin Cities. Sitting in today for Tom Osman, who is on assignment, is Jack Stallman here. Thrilled to be with you. You can reach out to me at Facebook or the Twitter at Don't Flinch Guy. Go ahead and holler at me there. Give me a hard time about how I'm doing today. I appreciate that, of course.
I'm sure you'd love just that.
Yes, yes. Give me a full critique about how many ums, ahs, and coughs I had throughout the show. I know my mother is keeping score at home. And, of course, we're alongside James here, who keeps this show afloat. And I sort of teased it earlier. Had a really neat opportunity. You know, my mom is a fan. This is what most people say. A friend of mine has this problem. And then, of course, it's you, you know. So here's how I'm going to guise this. My mother watches Twin Cities Live, which is on KSTP in the afternoons, 3 o'clock. It's really the last of, it was a dying breed a few years ago, and now I think it's making a comeback. Local talk shows that talk about local issues, talk about local restaurants, that thing. It's really a great show. It's really cool. It's a neat show. It's hosted by Elizabeth Reese and was hosted by John Hansen up until about a month and a half ago. And John Hansen went back to his roots, which is where we sit right here, his radio roots. He wanted to be a manager of a radio station, so he is now in Kansas City. So he leaves the show, and now they have guest hosts every day. And it's kind of fun to tune in to see who's going to be the guest host. And sometimes it's a Channel 5 anchor, but sometimes it's like James Denton, who has a Minnesota connection here, the guy from Desperate Housewives. He's the heartthrob on Desperate Housewives. And he has he married a Minnesotan, and they actually live in Minnesota for much of the year. And so he was on the show, and they had a competition to have a guest host, viewer guest host for the week. And my mom said, well, you got to put together a tape and send it in. And they had 200 submissions, and I was lucky enough to be one of the 20 finalists. So we all come in on a Saturday. I'm giving everybody a peek behind the curtain of how Twin Cities Live works. We come in on a Saturday, and poor Elizabeth Reese had to do the same segment 20 times because we all of us just sort of funneled in, and they had us come in one at a time doing the same segment.
What?
Yeah. Well, it was like, that's how auditions typically work, but you usually don't have the talent there.
Yeah, normally that's just somebody else who's in production stands in.
Right, but they wanted to get a feel that we could get along with Elizabeth, that we'd have good chemistry and everything else. So she had to live this Groundhog Day of doing the same segment, not to mention it was just a segment that they had done on the show the day before. That we just refreshed.
Oh, so it wasn't even like practice for the upcoming episode?
No, no. It was.
Oh,
it was,
see, that would have been really actually helpful.
Right. So we do it. And actually, I was fortunate enough to be one of the top five people. I got to guest host February 20th. It was a riot. Everybody there is so great. Again, you know, we were talking about earlier about how we think that these people on TV are, I don't know, aliens or something, you know, like they're not approachable. And Elizabeth Reese couldn't have been nicer. The production team couldn't have been greater. It was really a lot of fun. And it got me thinking about the old Twin Cities Live, because there was a brief period in time where KSTP had a show in the 80s called Twin Cities Live. To be fair to this, it was not the same format. It was not the same format. A lot more Phil Donahue. But I would love to take a little walk down memory lane and listen a little bit to Twin Cities Live. This is it.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Twin Cities Live, live from the Minnesota State Fair. I'm Bob Bruce. We've got a great crowd gathered here today on the fairgrounds, and we've got a very interesting subject. The little fellow that I've got in my hand here, most of you would recognize him as E.T., today we have really a couple of subjects, but the same theme. One is, does a little fellow like this have satanic effects on your child? Are there other toys in your children's toy box that may have satanic effects? And that old ever-popular theme of rock and roll music, is it damaging the brains of the young people of America? Now, I have a mother right here. Could you stand up, please, ma'am? And Masters of the Universe, Smurfs, E.T., do you have those kind of toys?
Masters of the Universe, yeah.
Are you afraid that Masters of the Universe is going to have bad effects on your children?
I don't know. I'm not crazy about it.
Then why did you buy it for your children?
Because they want it. I don't know.
Because they want it. Well, our guest today is a gentleman by the name of Phil Phillips, and he has written a book called Turmoil in the Toy Box. Would you please welcome Phil Phillips? Phil, thanks for being with us today.
I'll tell you why she bought those toys.
Okay, yeah. Well, maybe we should start with that. Why did she buy those toys?
She bought those toys because this is the first toy series in history to be simultaneously developed with a cartoon. The cartoon was developed with using licensed product. Do you understand what that means? It was like if Hunt's Ketchup developed a cartoon to sell Hunt's Ketchup. And these 30-minute cartoons, played as many as 18 times a week in some areas, act as commercials for the toys, creating peer pressure with the children to have these toys and setting in concrete the way the children play with the toys.
Okay, well, if indeed we agree with you that these programs act as commercials and sell toys, there are a lot of programs on television that could be said to act as commercials, but if indeed Masters of the Universe acts as a commercial, what's wrong with children having these toys?
Well, the thing that we deal with is negative.
So there you have it. That is a show that definitely changed.
I gotta say, I owned every Masters of the Universe toy, and he's totally right.
You know, how old are you? If you don't mind me saying.
I am 29.
Giving away radio secrets here.
I know, it's a terrible thing.
Because I was riding in with my gal today, who's a bit younger than me, 26, didn't even know what Masters of the Universe was.
Oh, it was huge back when I was 3, 4, 5. They developed it alongside the cartoon or the toys.
Yeah.
And I think they had in production like 80 episodes a year. Because what they did is they had the overlapping, like say you had an art picture and then you just put it on a background, a static background, and you just kind of moved the picture along that static background. They had the same animations for about 80, 90 different actions, so they could put together these episodes just like no tomorrow.
Yeah.
They were really just pumping these things out.
Oh, wow. That makes great sense. Yeah. It's just funny how if you live a couple years in a different era when it comes to children's television programming, like H&R Puffin stuff doesn't resonate with me at all because that was 70s, you know. But if you grew up, if you're 10 years older than me, you knew everything about that.
I have a feeling if you ever saw H&R Puffin stuff, you would never forget H&R Puffin stuff.
Well, depending on the state in which you watched H&R Puffin stuff.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, it is St. Patrick's Day. We could talk about drinking games and other things like that.
Speaking of which, very nice green North Star shirt.
Thank you very much. A nice green hat to you, sir.
Thank you.
Do you have big plans for the St. Paddy's Day?
I have a wedding to go to tonight.
What?
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's fine.
It's going to be fun.
I wonder, I hope nobody comes to the wedding already a little, you know,
I hope they do. Is that wrong of me to say? I think it'd be fun.
I'm sure the bride and groom wouldn't appreciate that. But, yeah, it's interesting because that was – so you're listening to KLBB, of course. This is Flashback Twin Cities, and that was just a Twin Cities Live clip. Now, to be fair, again, it went off the air for a while. It was Twin Cities Live was on in the 80s, went off the air for a few years, and then was reintroduced. So it was a whole new concept. They just basically took the name. But it's a great show on KSTP. They do a really nice job. All right, so – I got to get to something else, taking a whole new transition here, because I did do that Facebook poll, and the number one answer of what to talk about on the radio today was an encounter I had with Winnie Cooper of the Wonder Years.
You met Winnie Cooper.
Well, okay, so now here's where I told you we were going to take the show a little off the rails. This is going to be more Flashback than Twin Cities, but I feel like it matches because we're talking about somebody who was such a staple of our youth. Of course, Winnie Cooper was a character on The Wonder Years, played by somebody named Danica McKellar. And how many people know that name, you think, in this universe? Not very many. Everybody knows Winnie Cooper.
Oh, absolutely.
But nobody knows.
Especially with her comeback, I guess, in her brilliance the last 5-6 years or so.
Yes, yeah. She's been on How I Met Your Mother a couple times. What else?
She came out with a couple of books because she went to Harvard and became a mathematician, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, UCLA.
Yes, UCLA.
And she actually co-authored a proof. So, okay, so here's how this story is, you're going to think I'm making this up, but there's no way you really can. I was working in Burbank in probably 2004. and I worked overnights at a FedEx Kinko's, and it was 2 a.m. And it wasn't rare in a Burbank Kinko's to get B celebrities in. We had Dennis Haskins in a lot, who was in principal in Saved by the Bell.
Oh, wow.
A lot of just B celebrities would show up. Markie Post, who was kind of the love interest on Night Court. A lot of people. Alan Thicke. I remember I never met Alan Thicke, but I did a job for Alan Thicke. Like I ran his copies overnight one time. I was like, Alan Thicke. It's weird. So one night, Winnie Cooper comes walking in to FedEx Kinko's and heads right to the self-serve section. And I said to my coworker, I said, do you know who just walked in here? That's Winnie Cooper from The Wonder Years. And my coworker is from the Philippines and had no idea what The Wonder Years even was, which, you know, was eye-opening to me. And I said, okay, well, here's the deal. You have the rest of the store. I have her. I'm in charge of her. Anything goes wrong with her. And I said a little prayer to the Kinko's gods. And I said, please let that copier break down. And I was pretty sure, reasonably sure it would. Because this was like the worst.
Reasonably sure, or you made it happen?
If I could have made it happen in any magic, if we had buttons back there to shut down, you know, from afar, the copiers, I would have done it in a heartbeat. But we don't. But the moment she walks in, I hustle to my computer and I look up Winnie Cooper. Because I don't want to say, Winnie Cooper!
You want her name.
I want her name. Turns out she has a real name, Danica McKellar. I find out exactly what you just shared. She's a math genius. I'm like, well, this is interesting. She walks over. Literally, I have the screen up of her IMDb page. So it says, I minimize it so that she didn't see it. She says, can you help me? I have a jam in my copy. So I go over there. I'm her knight in shining armor. I unjam the jam. She's digging it. She's digging me. We got a vibe, which right now I'm lying about. But she did say, you know, I need to get an ink cartridge. So we walked over to the ink cartridge section, and she says to me, you know, I don't know my printer model number. And I said to her, well, matching the printer model number to the ink cartridge number, you'd have to be a math major.
Oh,
yeah,
see what I'm doing there.
See what I'm doing? And she totally hook, line, and sinker just, actually, I was a math major. She says to me, maybe not that sultry, but in my mind it was. And I said, no kidding, right? Like as if I didn't know. And we go to the checkout counter and we end up having like a conversation that starts this way. I said, you know, I'm kind of, she's checking out, so I'm literally beep, beep, you know, getting her stuff that, you know, ringing her up. And I said, you know, I don't mean to be weird, but are you Danica McKellar? And she lit up because everybody in the world says what? Winnie Cooper, right? So we have this 45-minute conversation. I'm not kidding you about like all these different weird things. It was mostly professional, but there were undertones. I felt like we were talking about the acting and everything else. And then it's almost 3 a.m, and she says the phrase that like I just thought I would never hear out of her mouth, which is, "Would you walk me to my car? Would you walk me to my car?" I am going nuts. I go outside. I wish, you know how in The Wonder Years, Kevin Arnold could hear his adult voice 20 or 30 years
right,
from now,
sure.
Reflect. That's truth. That is the power that Winnie Cooper has, because I heard my adult voice reflecting on the moment inside my head.
And all he was saying was, yes, yes. That's
finally!
All he was saying.
And so we get to her car, and I really was, I'll be honest, I was disappointed it wasn't a banana seat bike. I wanted it to be a 1950s, 60s style banana seat bike. It was not. Never before have I been disappointed to see a BMW, but that's what she drives.
Yeah, not too shabby.
Nice. Yeah, so obviously those residual checks are doing well for Wonder Years. And we actually exchange phone numbers. We exchange contact information, not phone numbers, so emails.
Mm-hmm.
We have a couple of email conversations throughout the course of a couple months. And here's how this would go. It would always be me starting the email conversation.
Sure.
She would respond, and then I would respond, then nothing. So it would be like in one day it would be me email, her email, me email, nothing. me email her, me email, that, so that pattern would continue. So it wasn't like she was, she would ever put me off, but it was, we never had a sustained conversation.
Sure, sure. She was being a very nice person. She was responding and not just ignoring you.
Right. She was, yeah. So I was like, okay, well, this is over. My dream is over of possibly being the next Mr. Winnie Cooper. And and she, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, she emails me, and it's a mass email, you know, but every name's hidden, but you can tell it's mass email because it's like, hey, everyone, this is an invitation to my birthday party. And I'm like, what is going on here? How could I possibly be invited to Winnie Cooper's birthday party?
The Kinko's guy.
The Kinko's guy, which is even funnier that you say that, and I'll get to that in just a minute. But so I didn't know how to handle this because I thought it was a mistake. I thought I wasn't supposed to be on, you know, it's pretty easy to do a mass email to the wrong crowd.
Sure.
Yeah. So I didn't know how to handle it the day of, didn't ask for an RSVP, so I didn't feel like I had to shout out too early to her. But the day of, the morning of, I email her and say, hey, I'm looking forward to coming to your party. And she responds right away, looking forward to seeing you there. So obviously she remembers who I am. So this was not a mistake. I was supposed to be invited to this thing. Great. To add a little bit of complexity to it, and this isn't that weird to Minnesotans, but it is if you're living in Southern California. It was a boot hockey game.
Ooh.
Yeah, she rented out an ice arena and told everybody to bring their brooms and their – it's a broom ball.
Those can get pretty brutal.
Right?
Yeah.
Especially with Californians who aren't used to being on ice. But I guess every year, oh wow, I'm getting out of hand here. When I tell this story, I can't do it without my hands, people. Every year she does this. She plays broom ball. So I show up with my broom and my duct tape, ready to like tape up a thing. And I walk in, and it's all ages 7 to 77.
Wow,
it's Winnie Cooper's family birthday party, and I am invited.
To the family gathering?
Pretty much. There were a handful of people who had similar stories to me, actually. Like, yeah, I met Winnie at this. There was one guy who was there this particular year because Winnie Cooper had invited his buddy the year before.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, and he wasn't sure, like me, if he was supposed to be invited. So he brought his friend as a buffer. And now this year, this guy actually got the real invitation. So it was madness. It was just a surreal, odd night. And then to give a little closure to this chapter in my life, she recently got divorced.
That's unfortunate.
And it went official the day that I got engaged to my current fiancé. So that obviously it wasn't meant to be between me and Winnie, which I have no regrets about, because she's hard to read. Remember that look
I imagine that, you know, if you're a celebrity, it's so you have to have that buffer area because no one will talk to you like a normal person.
No. And especially kid celebrities because they didn't get the opportunity to be around other kids.
That socialization's a little different.
Different. It's not necessarily, I mean, obviously like the Lindsay Lohan stories, we hear all these.
Ooh.
And they, right. But, yeah. But I mean, a lot of those younger child stars don't really develop properly. But she has this look on her face. Remember that look she used to give Kevin where you didn't know if she was going to kiss him or slap him? And that was not acting. That is who she is. Every time I talked to her, I was like, well, are you going to kiss me right now?
She's very intense.
Or do you dislike me greatly? Because I cannot read your face. So anyway, you are listening right now to Flashback Twin Cities. I'm filling in Jack Stallman, filling in for Tom Osman, who is on assignment in Chicago. And we are going to take a quick break. I'm sitting alongside James. Again, it's KLBB out of Flashback Twin Cities. Good morning, people. This is Jack Stallman filling in for Tom Osman on Flashback Twin Cities, the show that takes a look at old well, I shouldn't say old, takes a look at...
Nostalgic.
It takes a nostalgic look at local media from the past. And today, as you know, as you've been listening, I'm taking it a slightly different direction because I have a little experience in Los Angeles as well as here. So we're telling just some fun stories. The number here is 651-275-1220. Again, that's 651-275-1220. If in the last segment you want to chit-chat about anything, we're happy to do that. Again, it's Jack, and you're listening to Twin Cities Live here on KLBB, sitting alongside James. So one of the clips I came across here, I'm a big sports nut, and this clip was really kind of neat. And, you know, when you look back at sports of old in this market, I feel a lot of different – I feel melancholy. I feel bittersweet. I feel a lot of things because we only have two championships to really hang our hat on.
Yeah.
Well, except for –
We always come close. We come close a lot.
We come close a lot. You know, it could be worse. Like Cleveland has it bad. I mean, their sports teams typically are toward the bottom every year and everything. And we actually do – we underestimate that. I think it's because we live next to – well, a lot of our listeners right now are probably Packer fans right across the river, and they have such a great history of winning.
And there might be a little bit of bitterness.
That stings a little more that we have a history of winning but not winning at all. And I stumbled across this clip from 1987, and it was fresh off the Minnesota Twins World Series Championship. And there's some humorous stuff in there, especially considering just a few years ago the Metrodome roof collapsed. So they talk about the history of that actually happening before, which I didn't know it had happened before until
really?
I saw this clip. But here it is, 1987, talking about the Metrodome.
Live from Minnesota's news channel, KSTP Channel 5, Mike Binkley, Karen Falloon, and Mark Stevens bring you Eyewitness News.
More than 57,000 Minnesota Vikings fans packed the Metrodome in downtown Minneapolis today, a sellout crowd. But the Vikings aren't the only team that wants to play before Minnesota's enthusiastic crowds. Good evening, everyone. Minnesota and its Metrodome have a new reputation thanks to the World Series. Sports executives are finding they like what they see in the state, the fans, the dome, and the cities. As Pat Mylan reports, Governor Perpich is taking aggressive action now to land championship events in Minnesota.
To Gaetti, for the first time ever, the Minnesota Twins are the world champions.
This may go down as your most special memory in a sports championship, but it is doubtful that it'll be the last championship you ever see in Minnesota. Ever since the Twins won the World Series, it's become easier for sports executives to talk about selecting Minnesota as the site for a big sporting event. Paul Erickson is the director of the Minnesota Amateur Sports Association.
Once you kind of break that psychological threshold that this is a major sports center, then it makes it much easier for us to get a whole variety of sports that haven't been here before.
On the professional side of the sports coin, they are feeling the euphoria too. Minnesota is up for a Super Bowl in 1992. Winning the World Series has helped the Metrodome's chances, according to Sports Facilities Chairman Ron Gornick.
And I just believe personally that we have been identified as a facility, as a good facility, and I think it's going to be easier to talk to owners, to talk to NCAA people, to, whoever it is.
At a Monday press conference, Governor Rudy Perpich will say that Minnesota is going to seize the opportunities created by the World Series. The Minnesota Amateur Sports Commission is going to chase 20 major sporting events and try to bring them here. In amateur championships alone, the state figures there is $300 million a year to be made. The state is already chasing a bid for the Olympics, and Paul Erickson says there will be more.
We're going to have a list of the events that we've already obtained in Minnesota, and then we have an even a greater list of the types of events that we're seeking, and we feel we have an excellent chance of securing because of both new facilities coming online and the World Series reputation.
And what is that reputation? Well, outsiders are telling local sports executives that they love the vocal but friendly fans, the safe cities, and the winning attitude. Pat Mylan, Channel 5,
Eyewitness News.
So there you have it. We've come a long way. You know, we have now we have all new stadiums. That was the Metrodome was the wave of the future, they said in 1987, which isn't that long ago.
No.
That's how quickly these things change for folks. But anyway, we're here. It is Flashback Twin Cities. Jack Stallman filling in for Tom Osmond. I'm sitting alongside James. Flashback Twin Cities is a show that takes a look at historic news clips and of the local media. And so if you were just tuning in and you think that's a new and existing story, it's not. It's from 1987. So glad to have you alongside us this morning, this great St. Patrick's Day morning. One of my favorite days of the year, by the way. I just love it.
It's going to be a good one. I'm looking outside, not a cloud in the sky, at least here in Stillwater.
Yeah. Well, and last year, too, you know, downtown St. Paul was just magical because it was, you know, since we were just talking about sports, so it was a nice transition into this is – it was there was a Minnesota Wild hockey game at noon. There was the WCHA Frozen Five at 7 at night. So there were two different groups of audiences coming in. So there's 40,000 people, you got to figure, that were coming in and out of that town. It was 80 degrees, and St. Patrick's Day was on a Saturday.
Jeez.
So that combination of things made – they actually had to impromptu last year block off – West 7th. They just were like, we can't have car traffic coming through here. There's just too many bodies.
Yeah.
So between, you know, where Excel is and Tom Reed's, which is probably three blocks down, they blocked all of that off. And they thought through most of it, but not all of it. They didn't think about garbages. I mean, the place was just a heap.
Oh, geez. Trash cans just overflowing.
Right. And so what they did is they actually brought a street sweeper through, which is probably the most dangerous thing you can do around people who have been enjoying a few of the barley hops. And but they did it, and I don't think anybody got hurt, but I don't think I'll ever see St. Paul like we saw it last year, but we'll see. I'll be down there again today, so hopefully everybody else is as well. If you have anything on your mind you want to chat about, the number here is 651-275-1220. If you're on the Twitter, if you're on the tweet space, I'm at twitter.com/don'tflinchguy, and it's the same address for my Facebook as well. So give me a holler and whatnot. I do have a past of, and I wish we had a clip. Unfortunately, we couldn't find anything that we felt like we owned the rights to.
You know, it's probably better that way.
Yeah, so I did some industrial videos as part of my acting gig in, you know, back in the past. I did one for Boeing, in which I can't even talk about what the script, like contractually I can't talk about what the script said.
Sure.
I'm sure now it's outdated. It was like 10 years ago, but, you know, it was like top secret stuff we were doing. And then I did one here locally for Ameriprise, and it's interesting because now I'm a corporate speaker and I go out to these companies and I occasionally I'll have somebody just be like, you look very familiar to me. And it took me a while at some of these, especially Ameriprise. I had a couple people say, you know, I think I know you. And it's because I was the bad example in their industrial video. I was typecast as the young kid who doesn't know anything about anything.
I won't lie. I would much rather be the bad example. I think that would be way more fun.
It was a riot. It was a riot to do some of these things because you basically have no rules except for don't swear.
Sure.
You know. So we had the script was pretty loose. You know, about what we could do. So there was a lot of improv involved. And as a matter of fact, one of the industrial videos, there was a kid from I'm not going to remember. It was a CBS show. It was just funny. Like, I show up on the set, and there was this – he was a child star in a CBS show, and I'm like, what are you doing here? We're making, like, $300, you know, total for this whole project.
Sure, sure.
And, you know, times are what they are. So if you ever see me walking down the street and you're like, geez, that guy looks familiar.
And I feel like I don't like him for some reason.
Right.
He did something wrong.
Right. Have you seen some of these – have you ever worked at a place that made you watch – like a training video?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Oh. My favorite ones ever are the sexual harassment videos.
Yes.
Were you that guy?
No, I never did a sexual harassment. Thank goodness. Because those live forever.
Yeah.
If you can YouTube that stuff. There's some great YouTubes out there of just really bad sexual harassment videos. So speaking of that, I have one more story that I want to share. And I think it's a good segue into Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I like the direction this is headed already. I like Schwarzenegger.
So one more story of the days of old. I was out in L.A. and my buddy was working for Arnold Schwarzenegger's campaign. And he asked me if I wanted to meet Arnold. And I said, sure, right? Now, keep in mind, this was pre-scandal Arnold. And this was pre 12% approval rating Arnold. This was when Arnold was at his peak of being the governor. And what he was doing is he had a call center, and Arnold was going to come by for the cameras, smile, make a call. And I show up, and my buddy's like, we got a problem. And I'm like, what? He's like, well, we need Arnold to make a call, but we want it to be controlled. We don't want him calling some crazy kook in Burbank. We need it to be a controlled. Can he call your cell phone? And I said, sure. So I step outside of this, and it's kind of like a hotel ballroom, and there's just a giant glass wall that leads out into a kind of a courtyard garden area. So I literally step out and can see Arnold dialing my phone number. I can see him dialing my phone number. And he says, Jack, we need you to volunteer. Will you volunteer? And I'm not big into lying, but I was there volunteering, right?
So
yeah, I'll volunteer is what I said to him. And he puts the phone down and he goes, Jack agreed to volunteer. And everybody at the call center just goes crazy, right? Everybody's cheering and whooping it up. And I walk back inside so that I can get a chance, to kind of shake his hand and, whatnot. And I don't tell him that it was me on the phone. Obviously, he didn't want to burst his bubble. But that night on what's the 11 o'clock news out there, 10 o'clock here, right, the nightly news, you see a clip of and it goes like this. It's me and Arnold shaking hands and smash cut to Arnold putting the phone down. Jack agreed to volunteer. And I'm the only guy on the planet that knows. Well, now everybody knows because we stream this radio show.
You're probably breaking Arnie's heart right
He's
now.
He's probably listening somewhere, probably fencing. I don't know. I imagine him fencing.
Why? Why would that? What?
Fencing and
I like the image. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah. Fencing and listening to KLBB. That's who you're listening to right now. We are out of Stillwater, and we're having a great time. We're about to wrap this up. I really appreciate Tom Osmond letting me come in here and do this. He is on every Saturday morning from 8 to 9. This show is called Flashback Twin Cities. We take a look at old media clips from the local. A nostalgic look. That's what we decided it was. A nostalgic look at some clips from yesteryear, and we've had just a fantastic time doing it here. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, of course, I'm at Don't Flinch Guy at Twitter, Don't Flinch Guy on Facebook. The phone number here is 651-275-1220. James, what do we have coming up?
Coming up, we have George. He's going to be playing some music, and then I believe Aging But Dangerous at 9:30.
Excellent.
Which I do a really hokey impression of. Welcome, ladies. I like it. It's good.
Really? What? So, Aging But Dangerous. What's that about?
It's a couple of wonderful ladies come in, and they have all sorts of facts for women who are in their 50s, 60s to live their life better.
I dig that.
It's actually pretty awesome.
I dig that
show.
Those
ladies are fun to work with.
All right. Well, radio audience, this is it. Have a safe St. Patrick's Day. Really have had a great time filling in here. Thanks to Tom. Thanks to James for everything you've done here.
Always a pleasure.
All right. Well, we'll see you soon.